Good morning, everybody. Good morning on this Sunday morning. They tell us here in Tennessee that we're going to have storms all day, but in the name of Jesus, God is so good, Bride. We're so happy to be with you today for our Sunday morning church. We pray that everybody out there is doing good. I do want to say before I get started in the church side is a little warning. I try to a little bit on Sunday to tell you, give you a gist of what's happened this week. That the world is moving into the decentralized agenda. So that's the decentralized medicine and the decentralized finance. So I want to encourage you to get out of Microsoft, get out of Google, the email applications, you know, like Outlook and all that, they're all going to Web3, so you need to get out of all those. But as Pastor is preaching today, we are talking about joy. You know, we need joy in the midst of all of this that's happening right now. It's pretty traumatic, you know, what is happening in the global scene. But when we have Jesus, like that song said, we have it all. You know, let the world fall, but as long as we have Jesus, that's all that matters, you know, type of deal. So this morning, we just want to say welcome, welcome, everybody. I don't really have many announcements today about the church. We do have Bible college starts in a few weeks. I encourage you guys to sign up for Bible college. You can find out more about it on our website at www.goem.us. And you'll be able to register for Bible college. And also, we now have a public Vimeo account, which is where we are hosting our videos online instead of YouTube because we no longer have Google. But Vimeo has not went to Web3, so we now have our videos up on Vimeo for the people that cannot do band. This is church only. We still do the news inside band and inside Patreon. But you can go to Vimeo to you guys that are listening to this church service from all over the world. You can go to our Vimeo /GOEM. That's our name, GOEM. It stands for Garden of Eden Ministries, okay? So let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get started with the worship in preparation for Pastor's sermon today on joy. All right, Lord, we just come before you this morning. We thank you so much, Lord, for even being able to have the opportunity to come together audibly. To come together, Lord, as your church in this hour. We just thank you and give you praise, Lord, and may you be lifted up because your word says that you will be, if we lift you up, that you will draw all men unto you, Lord. So today we worship and praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, since Pastor is preaching on joy. I wanted to sing this song, and it's actually a request from Pastor. And we all know this from back in children's church. I've got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. So y'all sing it with me. Here we go. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. I've got the love of Jesus down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got the love of Jesus down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. I've got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart, I've got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. I've got the wonderful love of my blessed Redeemer. Way down in the depths of my heart. Down in the depths of my heart. All right, I'm off tune on that one. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. That joy is a river that never runs out. It's a deep well. We can have joy and be living in hell. You know, that's the truth of it. Okay, here's the next song I'd like for us to sing this morning. It's called I've Got Peace Like a River. Y'all remember this song? All right, let's sing it. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got love like an ocean. I've got love like an ocean. I've got love like an ocean in my soul. I've got love like an ocean. I've got love like an ocean. I've got love like an ocean in my soul. I've got joy like a fountain. I've got joy like a fountain. I've got joy like a fountain in my soul. I've got joy like a fountain. I've got joy like a fountain. I've got joy like a fountain in my soul. Look at this one. I've got peace like a river. I've got love like an ocean. I've got joy like a fountain in my soul. I've got peace like a river. I've got love like an ocean. I've got joy like a fountain in my soul. And then Dennis wanted me to sing this one. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, flowing down from heaven today. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, flowing down from heaven today. Say it one more time. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, flowing down from heaven today. Joy, wonderful joy, flowing down from heaven today. All right, one last song this morning, and I know, especially if you was Assembly of God, if you was Assembly of God, you would remember this song. This is the day that the Lord has made. Remember this song? This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the week. Have you heard this one? This is the week of the devil's retreat, of the devil's retreat. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. And then here's another one. This is the month. This is the month of the Lord's triumph, of the Lord's triumph. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. And then the last one is this one. This is the year. This is the year that the Lord may appear, that the Lord may appear. I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the year that the Lord may appear. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the year. This is the year that the Lord may appear. All right, Brian, before I open it up for Pastor to begin his sermon, I would like to invite all of you guys to be a part of our prayer call Mondays and Wednesdays at 7:30 in the morning. And then at 6 o'clock in the morning, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we do Good Morning on the Farm. Okay, and those are all uploaded on the, except the prayer calls, they're all private, but the Good Morning on the Farm is uploaded on our Vimeo account. Okay, well, let me get Pastor on the line. Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You sound really good.
Okay. That's good.
Well, you got the floor.
All righty. Thank you. And thank you for them songs. I want to touch on that a minute. You know, joy, not just joy, but peace and love and, you know, all the fruits of the Spirit, you know, we need to get them down in our heart. And I guess what I'm gonna express a few things. Really, it's so important that we do this. It's like the song "Peace Like a River Down in My Soul," or love, you know, like a river down in our soul, or joy like a fountain down in our soul. And I want to touch on that. Soul realm, you know, that is the mind, the will, and the emotions. And it's such a important factor or whatever to think about and consider and, you know, really, wow, soul, your mind, your will, and emotions, because everything we're seeing today going down, and even not just going down, but, you know, even the good things, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, whatever, has to do with the soul, because we're seeing this, you know, and what's it going to do? It's in your mind, and it's going to come up into some sort of emotion. And what are you going to do with that emotion? And that's the will. And we need to be able to control that will from these emotions that we're having with God's word, because his will is his word. And so I just want to really express this. That's why we need to, you know, for the last couple of weeks, actually more than that, I've really been looking into, you know, the Galatians, you know, the fruit of the Spirit. And a couple of weeks ago, I talked about peace, and we're going to touch on that again a little bit today, because we have to have this, the fruits of the Spirit, to get us through what we're coming into. We have to have the fruits of the Spirit to control our emotions, and it's the fruits of the Spirit that's God's will, you know, peace, joy, love, long-suffering, kindness, goodness. You know, we have to have that. So we really need to be focusing on this in such a time as this, you know. In this peace, you know, it's we have to have it just flowing out of us. And when it's not, the reason why we need to get this to really ponder and meditate and think about all this stuff so that when we do need it, it's just going to, and we're not going to even realize it, and it's just going to come out of us. And we're going to touch on this today. You know, it's going to come out of us, and it's going to take over our emotions so that, you know, God's word is going to control our emotions. You know, it's this soul realm, and what we do with it, our will, is going to be the controlling factor to either, you know, get you through it or not. So you're not sitting there in distress and whatever. Okay. But I really just want to point that out. And so thank you for them songs. Them are some awesome songs that, you know, go right along with today's word. Again, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about peace, you know, Philippians 4:7, that the peace of God will guard over your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. You know, we have to have that peace, that joy, that love, the fruits of the Spirit. Amen. And, you know, we must be intentional. I'm going through some notes from a couple weeks ago about when I talked about peace. We must be intentional with what we think on and do. And choosing to keep focused on the love of God and His Word, you know, to think on. There we go. There's the soul realm. So we really need to be intentional about this, you know. This is what I was talking about last week, a couple weeks ago. You know, he was in awe and so full of joy seeing, you know, his followers, seeing them with such, you know, this give him strength because he's seen those, you know, who were with him, you know, that he was preaching the gospel and they got it. And he was, you know, they got the good news. And he's like, wow, all right. And this just come up in his spirit, man, and just give him strength. You know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Nehemiah, we're going to touch on that, you know, but he's seen that and it's like, wow, he was in awe because he's seen his followers, you know, believing and coming on to, you know, on board with him, you might say. And this was just, you know, brought this peace up in him and this joy that's like, you know, that's his glory, you know, to seeing his followers with this, because that's what got him through, and we're going to be talking about this today and for such a time as this. Amen. You know, and again, that was in Philippians 4:7. The peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And that word keep, me, I always put guard. You know, it guards over us to keep out this and that and all these negative emotions. You know, we got to be able to control them negative emotions with God's word, with his fruit, you know. And then that takes us to Galatians, you know, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You know, we need to walk in the fruits of the Spirit. And that's why we really need to get this down. We really need to get it in us so that when we need it, is just going to come out of us, and we're going to have that peace. We're going to have that joy, you know, because that's what's going to get us through. You know, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And what's the through? It's the fruits of the Spirit. It's going to get us through. You know, we're not going to sit there in, you know, the valley of the shadow of death. We're going to be going through it because we got God's word in us and it's rising up out of us. Amen. So I believe this is so important for today. And so when I was thinking about this, you know, going back to Nehemiah, you know, that the joy of the Lord is my strength. And when I was reading and pondering and coming up with this message and just, you know, is all more for me. You know, I got to have this, you know. But so now I'm putting it out there. I mean, this is what I'm coming up with and I want to share. Okay. And I'm going to be sharing some things from a couple other books, because when I was doing this, and I thought, wow, I wonder what he thinks about this. And y'all know I like Rick Renner's book. And so I looked it up in his book. And boy, he had some really good things about joy. And I'm going to be reading that at the end of this show. But let me think here. Joy, you know, so I was looking up joy, you know. It's kind of the gladness of the heart, you know, and there's different kinds of joy, okay? And with each one of these things, I'm going to tell you, well, I guess I'll put the scripture behind it. There's foolish joy, Proverbs 15:21. There's fleshly joy, Ecclesiastics 9:7-9. Fleeting joy, Matthew 13:20. Fruitful joy, Psalms 139, and there's more scriptures that go with each of these, but these are the ones that really come out at me, or that I discovered first figuratively, Isaiah 52:9, final, Acts 20:24, future, Matthew 25, verses 21 and 23. So there's different kinds of joy, you know, and it's described as everlasting, Isaiah 51:11. And there's some of these we are going to touch on, but I'm just running through my list here quick. There's great joy, Acts 8:8. There's you full of joy, 1 John 1:4. There's abundant joy, 2 Corinthians 8:2. Unspeakable, and we're going to talk about that one, 1 Peter 1:8. Causes, okay, what's the causes of some joy? Victory causes joy, 1 Samuel 18:6. Christ's birth, amen, whoo, should cause great joy, Luke 2:10. Christ's resurrection, amen, that's a very important one, Matthew 28:4-8, excuse me. Sinless repentance, or sinner's repentance, you know, when we repent, when we really get down and causes us sadness because of our sins, and when we bring that, acknowledge that, and bring it to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me, and we truly from the heart repent, this joy should rise up in us. It goes, oh, thank you, Father. You are so awesome that you forgive me of that. But we got to acknowledge it to the Lord and truly repent from the heart. Luke 15:5, 15:10, and 21:24. Conversions of the Gentiles. There again, this is like Paul, you know, he's seen, you know, all his these followers that, you know, are following him. And he's like, wow, man, this is, you know, and that caused him great joy. which gave him strength to endure all that he did. Forgiveness. You know, when you have ought against someone or something or whatever, but when you truly forgive them, it's going to be this big burden is going to be lifted, and it should cause joy. That, wow, that's lifted. You know, that burden of unforgiveness. Psalm 51:8-12. You know, and then there's God's word, Jeremiah 15:16. Spiritual discovery, you know, you're reading the word and it's like, wow, I never seen that before. And you're like, all right. And you're discovering spiritual things. It should bring you great joy. Matthew 13:44, the good news, you know, God's word, you know, being born again the first time, that good news, boy, that should rise up a great joy in you. 2 Chronicles 20:27. And then names written in heaven, Luke 10:13. True faith, 1 Peter 1:8. So these are just some of the scriptures that are, you know, talking about joy. And then there's places of joy. Prayer, in your prayer time, should this joy should rise up. Christian fellowship. Suffering, giving. So there's all these different scriptures about joy. And I'm just going to touch on a few of them and whatever to get us going here. You know, then I looked up joy in my Bible dictionary. And it's got some good stuff in it. The joy usually comes from joy is usually some form in Hebrew, guilt, to leap or to spin around with pleasure. It's kind of interesting how they say this. A stronger term than that, shimhai in Psalm 35, etc. Let's see, rejoicing. Matthew 2:10, gladness, the cause of an occasion of joy. Luke 2:10 and 1 Thessalonians 2:20. You know, joy is a delight of the mind arising from consideration of the present or assured possession of the future good. When moderate, it is called gladness. Raised suddenly to the highest degree in its exaltation or transport, when the desires are limited by possessions, it is contentment. Boy, and contentment is so important. I remember there a time back, and I've shared this before more than once, about I never had contentment. And when I discovered that word and looked up the scriptures about it and prayed over it, it's like, wow. Contentment is so, you know, important, and it should rise up joy. You know, higher desires accomplished bring satisfaction, vanquished opposition. We call triumph. Again, I'm reading from my Bible dictionary here. When joy has so long possessed the mind that it has settled into a temper, we call it cheerfulness. This is natural joy. There is a moral joy, which is a self-appropriation, or that which arises from the performance of any good action. This kind of joy is called peace or serenity of conscience. If the action is honorable and the joy rise high, it may be called glory. And then there's spiritual joy. This is called the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. The joy of faith, Philippians 1:25. Rejoicing of hope, Hebrews 3:6. Its objects are God Himself. We're going to touch on that. Psalms 43:4, Isaiah 61:10. The promises. You know, God's promises should bring this joy rise up in this, Philippians 3:3, 1 Peter 1:8, the gospel, amen. Psalm 89:15, the prosperity of Christ's kingdom, Acts 15:3, Revelation 11:15-17, the happiness of a future state. You know, we got to think of eternity is, I think, what that's saying. You know, Psalm 16:9-11, Romans 5:2, Romans 15:13, Hebrews 3:6. The spiritual joy is permanent. John 16:22, Philippians 4:4, unspeakable. 1 Peter 1:8, and we're going to talk about that right away here. So those are just what's coming out of my Bible dictionary about joy. And so I want to touch on this joy unspeakable. So let's turn to 1 Peter 1. I've got all my bookmarkers and all. They're going to go through a bunch of different scriptures today. So I just thank the ladies that send us bookmarkers. Boy, I tell you, I really use them. Saves me time paging through my Bible, which is falling apart here. But anyway, and then someone sent me, I can't remember if I give thanks to the person that sent me a brand new Bible, Dake's Bible. And so I just want to thank you for that. But anyway, so 1 Peter 1, and I want to read, let's see, the first 9 verses, and this is Peter, an apostle of Jesus, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, to obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Wow, and I want to I never seen this before. And it says, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit. Sanctification of the Spirit. I'm just thinking about that. Wow, you know, when we study God's Word and we get it in us, and so, we finally get this peace that just, oh, wow, man, or this joy. What's that doing? That's sanctifying us, really, because instead of having fear or distress or whatever, you know, we're going to have peace or we're going to have joy. So it's sanctifying us. Does that make sense? I mean, we're getting rid of the old, the fear and the distress and anxiety, and we're getting peace and joy. Amen. Unto obedience, the sprinkling of blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. What's this inheritance? Peace, joy, love, the fruits of the Spirit, amen. Who are kept, verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith, unto the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time, kept by the power of God, God's word, by his peace, by his joy, by his long suffering. You know, that's what we're kept by. It's power. More word, more power. Verse 6, wherein we greatly rejoice through now for a season, if need be. Ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perish, through it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Wow. So the trial of your faith, you know, we all go through trials and some more than others. I mean, those trials, ain't that what it's saying here? Being much more precious than of gold that perishes. So these trials, that's why we need to really get God's word deep down in us. We need to get his word because those are fruitful to help us to, in these trials, we'll get through it. It's more precious than gold. So when we get through these trials, whatever it be, that, you know, the list is pretty long, amen. So the trials of our faith. Verse 8, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Whew. Amen. But I want to point out, go back to verse 8, whom having not seen, ye love. You know, none of us have really ever seen Jesus, but yet we love him. We love our Heavenly Father because he loved us first. We haven't seen him, but we sure love them. We're standing on his word because his word is who Jesus is. His love. God is love. Yet believing. Believing. Do you believe this? Are you believing God's word? Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. Receiving the end of your faith, you know, the outcome of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you right now, Lord, for your word. We thank you that your word will just penetrate deep down in our hearts, our minds, our souls, that when we go through any sort of troubles and all the things of this world, Lord, that your word will just rise up in us and it will give us glory and strength to carry on, Lord, for such a time as this. Amen. Verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. All right, I want to stop right there. And where it says unto you, I want you to, if you got your Bible out right now and you got a pen, you just put your name right. You circle you and you put your name there. Amen. And you can date it if you like to. That grace should come unto you. Amen. And I just want to, I mean, 1 Peter is so powerful, man. I mean, drop down to verse 13 quick. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ. His word is revelation. Now we're digging into, we're thinking about, we're reading his word. We're like, wow, yeah, this should give us strength. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. And then as obedient children, you know, we are the children of God, not fashioning ourselves according to former lust of your ignorance. You know, before we knew about, before we were born again, before we even start reading the Bible or anything, you know, we were ignorant, but we're not ignorant no more because we're digging into his word. We know that, wow, more word, more power to overcome all the things of this world. Amen. Let's see here. And then it says here, again, I want to go touch on verse 8. Whom ye have not seen, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing. Believing. Let's jump over to John chapter 20 quick. John chapter 20. And starting with verse 24 to the end of the chapter, it's about the unbelief of Thomas, you know, unbelieving Thomas, okay? And I want to go down in verse 26. And after 8 days, again, this disciples were within, and Thomas with them, then came to Jesus, and the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. This is Jesus. Peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. So we need to have this belief system or whatever. You know, we need to be very, you know, believe. We need to trust in God's word and believe it. Amen. So joy unspeakable is a joy that remains steadfast, even in the face of hardship, because it is anchored in the eternal promises of God. Amen. You know, not in temporary situations. Joy unspeakable offers a glimpse of the future glory that awaits believers in heaven in Christ. Amen. Real joy comes from God, who has invaded us, conquered us, and liberated us from eternal death and sadness. Amen. Who has given us hope because he has poured out his love within our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Turn to Romans. Romans chapter 5. You know, he has poured out his love within our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. We're going to read the first 5 verses. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. There's that rejoice. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Ain't that a fruit of the Spirit? And patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Lord, right now I just want to pray for each person here, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for your word. And your word says that tribulation worketh patience. A patience experience, and experience hope. And so, Lord, I just thank you for this hope that we believe in the love of God. And, Lord, I thank you that the love of God would be shed abroad in all our hearts here today, Lord. Each person, Lord, just more love, Lord. Because your word says that you are love. And so more of you, Lord, more of your love that we can love, which has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which has been given unto us. So we just thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. that it would just build us up, Lord, in our most holy faith and trust in you alone. Amen. You know, and it says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Unto who? Unto us. Amen. Write your name there too. Amen. Joy comes from God, not from within. Maybe when we look within, we just see sadness. You know, all the things of this world. No, we have to look to the Holy Spirit to help us. We have to look to the Lord God Almighty. Amen. Amen. Romans 6. Let's jump over to Romans 6. Verses 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the holy, by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Amen. Wow. For if there's that big word, if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Yes. Hallelujah. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that our body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Are you believing today that we will live with him eternally? Amen. Whew. Verse 9, knowing, highlight that word, that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. Reminds me of that scripture, and I can't think of it now. I just had it, but can't think of it now. Anyway, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah chapter 51. Grab a drink here quick. I got my hibiscus rosehip tea this morning. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord, for the tea. Isaiah chapter 51. I'm going to read the first 11 verses. And, you know, this is talking about the faithful are called courage. The faithful are called to courage. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewed, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Wow, there's a lot in that verse, huh? Look unto Abraham your father, and to Sarah that are bare you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. We're going to touch on that Zion here in a little bit. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Wow. I want to read that verse again. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. You know, and we're going to, again, like I said, we're going to touch on Zion and what that is, you know, but just put your name there. The Lord shall comfort Dennis. The Lord shall, I don't know who's all on here today with us, but just put your name there. The Lord will comfort the church. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We just thank you, Father, for the voice of melody. We thank you for that peace that we find through you, Lord. Verse 4, hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation, for the law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth, my arms shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon me, and on my arm shall they trust. You know, and that's the, when it says the isles shall wait upon me, it's the habitation of places. You know, where are you at? Where are you at? You know, he'll give us peace and joy there where we're at. Verse 6, lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath. For the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like a manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. It won't be put away. His righteousness stands. Amen. Woo. Verse 7, hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of man, neither be ye afraid of their rivalings. Oh boy, we hear plenty of that going on. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. And I can just say hallelujah, amen. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the ancient of days, in the generation of old. Art thou not it that hath cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? Art thou not it that hath dried the sea, the waters of the great depth, that hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over? Exodus 14:21, you know, when Moses went across, you know, took the people across. Verse 11, here's the verse I wanted to get to. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. The everlasting joy shall be upon their head, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Woo. Amen. We just thank you right now, Lord. As we come singing unto Zion, singing, you know, all across, you know, we're all singing together in the church, you know, and everlasting joy shall be upon our heads. You know, we just thank you for that joy, Lord. And we will obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. So right now, Lord, I just thank you that anybody here today that hears this message today, now or next week, whenever, Lord, that any mourning, any sorrow, any fear, anything from the pits of hell, Lord, that is coming upon others and drawing them away from your joy and your peace. And Lord, I just ask that it be broken now, right now, in Jesus' name. Any sorrow and mourning must flee now in Jesus' name. Amen. Woo. Amen. You know, we are called to courage. Amen. Let's turn back to Isaiah. You know, I guess I want to say this. You know, I'm reading this, you know, I'm not just picking out the one scripture, verse 11. You know, that's the highlight scripture, but I'm reading the context of it because I feel that so much, I mean, this is prophetic. We see so much of what we're reading here in the Old Testament today. You know, we're seeing this today. If you have eyes to see, you'll know what I'm saying. Amen. But let's turn to Isaiah 35. And again, I'm going to read verse 1 through 10. But 10 is actually the scripture that I really want to touch on, but you need to read the context of this to get it. Okay, Isaiah chapter 35, and this is Israel restored to Zion. Again, we're going to touch on Zion, but the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice, and the bosom shall and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say unto them that are of a heart, fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. So right now, Lord God, we just thank you that the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Amen. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and the streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons where each lay shall the grass and the reeds and the rushes. And a highway shall be there, and a way it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. Whew. Wow. Wow. Ponder that. And I want to read that again, verse 8. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The way of holiness. I can't remember. It's been a while back. I did a message about the way. Are you walking in the way? Or are you walking the other way? Because if you're not walking in the way of holiness, you know, you're in error. The fool shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up therein. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. Amen. The redeemed of the Lord. There's a song. The redeemed of the Lord shall walk therein. We thank you, Lord, right now for redemption. We thank you, Lord, that we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for the shed blood of Jesus right now. And I pray that that shed blood, Jesus, would flow over every home, every person, every dwelling, Lord, that shed blood cleanses from unrighteousness, sin, sickness, disease, and calamity. All the fiery darts of the devil are void from operating against the redeemed of the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for reconciled. We've been reconciled unto the Lord for such a time as this. Amen. And verse 10, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Zion. Amen. The ransomed of the Lord shall come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise the Lord, yes. So here in chapter 51, you know, Zion. Let's go back to Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51, you know, in verse 11, it was, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. And I feel that Zion refers to Jerusalem, the city of God, and by the extension, the people of God. It symbolizes a place of restoration and joy for the redeemed who are returning from exile with singing. Essentially, Zion represents both the physical city and the spiritual community of God's people. Amen. You know, it symbolizes a place of restoration and joy. Restoration and joy. You know, all the fiery darts of the devil, sin, sickness, disease, calamity, all the fiery darts of the devil are void from operating against us because we've been restored. We've been redeemed. And the joy of the Lord shall guard over our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen and amen. Woo. Hallelujah. You know, over time, you know, Zion became a broader term representing the people of Israel. Okay. The covenant community with God. And I was thinking about this. Wow. You know. It's the covenant people here in the Old Testament. But we're in the New Testament. You know, there's a new covenant. And it comes through Jesus. We've been redeemed by the shed blood of Jesus. And anybody that's been following us, you know, we know they're trying to take us back to the law, the old covenant. That was for then, and it was awesome. It was, you know, what they needed. But we need the new covenant. Amen. You know, it's a place that symbolizes the destination of the redeemed. What's your destination? Are you going back? Are you going back to the law? Nope. We've been redeemed from the law. We've been redeemed from sin, sickness, disease, calamity, all the fiery darts of the devil. Woo. You know, we've been redeemed. You know, we will experience joy, gladness, and we will, you know, ceasing from sorrow. We are handing over our sorrow to another, surrendering it all to the Lord God Almighty. Amen. You know, the imagery of returning to Zion with singing and everlasting joy highlights the triumph and the hope associated with God's promises of redemption and restoration. Amen. We've been redeemed. We're being restored right now. You know, I believe this return to Zion in Isaiah 51:11 here is the connection to the gospel message, the good news, the future return to the heavenly Zion, the new Jerusalem, you know, when Jesus comes back. The city where God chose to put his name for his dwelling, where he would dwell with his people together forever. Woo! Amen. You know, Isaiah 52. Let's turn the page here to Isaiah 52. You know, in the first part of Isaiah 52, the first 12 verses, and this talks about the Lord would deliver Zion from captivity. Okay. And I don't know if I should read this for time's sake, but it's awesome. I mean, this Isaiah 52 is so good. Let's just read it. I'll read it kind of quickly. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Are you awake today? Awake, put on strength, O Zion. Put on strength, Dennis. Put on strength, June. Put on strength, Monica. I don't know who's all on us with us today. Put on strength. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for whenceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean, the unbelieving. You know, we need to believe. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. Are you captive today? We're releasing it now in Jesus' name. If you're captive by anything that's not of God, that's you're bound to, release. For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye be redeemed without money. For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppress them without cause. Are you being oppressed today? Now, therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord, and my name continually every day is blasphemy. Boy, we see that today, do we not? If you have eyes to hear, our eyes to see and ears to hear, you do. We see the Lord's name and things being blasphemed all around us today. Not just in the church, but in the government, in the world. It's just terrible. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am he that does speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are thy feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publish peace. God's word is peace. That bring good tidings of good, that publish salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Amen. Our God reigns here in this church today. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice. With the voice together shall they sing. For they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Who's your watchman? I don't know how many times I've asked people that. Who's your watchman? Who are you listening to? Where are you getting your news? Where are you getting the good news? Is it twisted? Is it turned? Break forth into joy, verse 9. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. He has redeemed me. Put your name there. The redeemed of the Lord say so. Verse 10. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart ye, go ye out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. And it says here, and I had to stop when I was reading this and think about this. Verse 11, depart ye, go ye out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her. Who's this her? It's the captive daughters of Zion. They're captive. They're, you know, captive maybe in the law or whatever. Verse 12. For ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your reward. Amen. The God of Israel is our reward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's turn to Psalm 98. Psalm 98. Psalm 98. And this is a short psalm. I just want to read it because it's praise to God for his salvation. That's what this psalm is. It's a psalm of praise. Praise. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness has he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of the psalm. The trumpets, it's tore out of my corner. I don't know what that next word. Make a joyful noise before the Lord. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and the they that therein. Corner of my pages tore out there. Let verse 8, let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world and the peoples with equity, fairness. Well, I want to go back to that verse 8. I really like that verse. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together. You know, and yet when I think about that, let the floods, you know, the power of water. And, you know, we're seeing that across the nation today, if not the world. The floods, the power of water, you know, Have you ever been by the ocean and you hear the waves drop and the sound, the power of the waves dropping along the shoreline? Especially, you know, when I lived in California and there was a storm down in, you know, Mexico, and the shock waves that hit, you know, Orange County, you know, Southern California, those waves, when they dropped one next to another, wow, the power. And here it says the floods clapped their hands. The power of clapping hands. Let the hills be joyful together. Wow. Just imagine that. The sound before the Lord that cometh, you know. I just thought that's such a powerful psalm. Amen. And now let's turn to Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. You know, here Ezra reads and explains the law. You know, and this is about a week after the walls around Jerusalem are completed, okay? And the people reassemble in Jerusalem. And Ezra brings out the book of the law and reads it aloud to all the people, okay? And so these first 12 verses, you know, he's reading, you know, he explains about this. And I'm not going to read all this chapter for, let's go ahead and read it. I got to read the context. I'm sorry. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spoke unto Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. Just think about this, man. This is a thought come to me. How many people out there today are crying out, bring the book of the law, bring the Bible. What's the Bible say? Is it going along with what you see out there in the world today? And here the people are gathering and saying, hey, bring the book of the law. We don't see that today, do we? And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Lord, we just thank you that you give us attentive ears today, Lord, to hear what the Spirit is saying. And Ezra the scribe stood upon the pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood Mattathena, and Shema, and Ananiah, and Uriah, and Hilkiah, and I can't pronounce all these names, and on his right hand and on his left hand, Pedahiah, and Mishiah, and Malachi, and all these names. Verse 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, and he was above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. Woo. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And all these people here, I'm not going to read all the names, caused the people to understand the law. And the people stood in their place. So they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and gave the sense and cause them to understand the reading. So I take it that, you know, as he's reading the book of the law, all these people, these names above here, you know, they're repeating after him to the people, you know, the book of the law of God distinctively, it says, and gave the sense and caused them to understand. So they're making it clear to the people, you know, what Ezra is reading, you know, the law. Verse 9, and Nehemiah, which is in the Trishathia, which is the governor, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. I wonder why they're weeping. You ever think about that? For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Maybe because it was going against the way they were living. They were all living in sin or unrighteousness, and they heard the words of the law and they started weeping. They were repenting. Verse 10, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Conviction of sin. You know, they were convicted of sin. And when they repented and stuff, you know, this joy come up in them. You know, the association of conviction of sin and joy, you know, may seem strange, but only on the surface, you know. The more we are aware of the extent of our sin, the greater our joy in God's forgiveness should be. Amen. And I believe that's what this verse is. You know, that's why we have to read the context. We can't just take this one verse and say, oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. It ain't going to be your strength if you're not repenting. If you're not living, you know, if you're living in unrighteousness, if you're living in sin, if you're not repenting, the joy of the Lord ain't going to rise up in you when you need it. You know, that's why they were mourning and weeping, and they fell down on their face for the conviction of their sin. And when they were convicted and they repented, you know, from the heart, then this joy rose up in them. And they were, you know, and it was giving them strength. Verse 11, so the Levites, were like the priest, stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. You know, he's telling them that, don't be grieved. You know, you're coming back, they're being restored back to the, you know, to God. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth. You know, that's laughter and joy, amusement, because they had understood the words and that were declared unto them. And so, Father God, I want to pray right now for understanding. The people here in your word, Lord, they understood the words that was declared unto them. And so, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word that we have understanding. that, you know, it would draw us to repentance, you know. Amen. Now I want to read here. I've got a book, and I've shared this book before. It's called The Bible Reader's Companion, Your Guide to Every Chapter of the Bible. And this book, and I can't show you the book because this is audio, but it's by Lawrence O. Richards, and it's a kind of an outline book. It takes each chapter of the book, and it takes so many scriptures, and it's an outline. And I've used this book for many years, and it really helps. But I want to read something from this book that he says about what I'm, you know, about Nehemiah chapter 8 and 9. Again, this is, you know, a week after the walls of Jerusalem, you know, were completed and the people were reassembling in Jerusalem. And Ezra brings out the book of the law and all that, you know. But it says, he says here, conviction and joy. The association of these two may seem strange, but only on the surface. And I read this. The more we are aware of the extent of our sin, the greater our joy in God's forgiveness. Now, verses in chapter 8, verses 13 through 18, the harvest time festival was typically a time of rejoicing. This particular Feast of the Tabernacles, however, was marked with exceptional joy. God had defeated the Jews' enemies. Jerusalem was again a city with walls. They were protected. Amen. Revival, chapter 9, first three verses. The revival that followed was marked by self-humbling, expressed in fasting, sackcloth, and dust on one's head. Exclusion of foreigners, and get rid of the enemies. Confession of sins, and eager study of God's word. The patterns fit well with both biblical and modern revivals. You know, if we want revival, it's got to come and be in our hearts first. You know, with prayer and fasting and you know, conviction. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to Psalm 43. I need to get going here, probably. I don't know what my time is. Psalm 43. And this is a short psalm, but it's a prayer for deliverance from the ungodly. And I thought this was interesting. Especially, okay. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against the ungodly nation. You know, this is a prayer for today. Because we see a very ungodly nation. At least I believe that. Oh, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. Amen. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Why, he's saying. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. You know, God's light and his truth leads him. That's what we need. We need God's light, for he is light. You know, in the truth what sets us free. Bring me unto the holy hill, unto thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my confidence and my God. And just put your name in there. Amen. You know, are you cast down today? Is your soul cast down? That's what this in Psalm here, he's saying, oh, my soul is cast down. Oh, why is my soul so cast down? Why am I living in fear and anxiety and whatever the list is a mile long? No, trust in the Lord, oh, my soul. You know, hope in God. Amen. Okay. Now, what I want to do to close this up for today, I want to read from a book, I guess, and this is from, okay, this is Rick Renner's book, once again, Sparkling Gems from the Greek, and he's talking about joy and peace. And everything that I've shared with you today, he kind of sums up here something. He expands on it more, I guess. And so I want to read this and point out some things. And this is from, you know, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. You know, in my last message, I think it was 2 weeks ago, I was talking about peace. And today I'm talking more about joy, but the two, you know, come together. They're you know, they work together. And I'm going to cut down here. And he's talking about an encounter of someone who was destroying his ministry. Okay. And just to cut to the chase here. And so him and his elders, you know, they were going to go confront this situation, you know, and Rick had this great peace about him when everybody else, you know, were like, how can you be so peaceful about this? You know, this guy's tearing, you know, coming and tearing down your ministry. You know, he's coming against you. And so he's saying here that this experience reminded him of Paul. His Paul's words to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 1:6. And it says, and ye have become followers of us and of the Lord, having received the world in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe. You know, we have to be examples to all everybody. But he's saying here, ye have become followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. And, you know, this word joy, he says, is associated with the word affliction, you know. The word is so strong that it leaves no room for misunderstanding regarding the intensity of the afflictions that Thessalonians faced and Paul. You know, this word conveys heavy pressure, you know, heavy pressured situation. One scholar says that it was first used to describe a specific act of tying a victim with a rope, laying him on his back, and then placing a huge boulder on top of him until his body was crushed. Wow, that's a heavy pressure situation. Paul uses this word to alert us to moments when he or others went through grueling, crushing situations that would have been unbearable, intolerable, and impossible to survive if it had not been for the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's why we got to have the God's word deep down is joy. One of the ways, I'm reading here now, one of the ways the Holy Spirit helps in these situations is to give us a supernatural joy. And that's the title of my message, a supernatural joy. However, it is important to understand that this divine joy isn't on the same low level as mere happiness. Happiness is based on circumstantial pleasure, excitement, or something that causes one to feel hopeful or to be in high spirits. This fleeting emotions of happiness, although very pleasurable for a moment, usually goes just as quickly as it came. All it takes is one piece of bad news, a sour look from a fellow employee, a harsh word from a spouse, or an electric bill that is larger than what was anticipated, and that emotion of happiness can disappear right before a person's eyes. Amen there, huh? But joy is unaffected by outward circumstances. In fact, it usually thrives best when times are tough. It is God's supernatural response to the devil's attacks. And that's the key. The Greek word for joy is chara, derived from the word charis, which is the Greek word for grace. Thank you, God, for grace. This is important to note, for it tells us categorically that chara, joy, is produced by charis, grace of God. This means joy isn't a human-based happiness that comes and goes. Rather, true joy is divine in origin, a fruit of the Spirit that is manifested particularly in hard times. And you know, we're going to be coming into hard times, and some people more than others right now. Someone may feel happiness, hilarity, exuberance, excitement, on high spirits, but all these are fleeting emotions. On the other hand, joy is a Spirit-given expression that flourishes best when times of strenuous, daunting, and tough times. In the example given in 1 Thessalonians 1:6, the Thessalonians were under great stress due to persecution. Yet in the midst of it all, they continued to express great joy. In fact, the Greek strongly implies that the supernatural joy was due to the Holy Spirit working inside them. Paul even called it joy of the Holy Ghost. So, an interpretive translation of 1 Thessalonians 1:6 could be following. You threw your arms wide open and gladly welcomed the word into your lives with great enthusiasm. And you did not, even in the midst of mind-boggling sufferings, a level of stress and intensity that would be suffocating and crushing for most people, but while you were going through all these hardships and hassles, you were strenuously experiencing the supreme ecstasy and joy of the Holy Spirit. Experiencing supreme ecstasy and joy of the Holy Spirit. Wow. He says the best that the lost world has to offer is a temporary happiness. But when the seed of God has been placed inside your human spirit, that divine seed produces a joy that isn't based on outward events or circumstances. In fact, when times get very challenging, the supernatural life of God rises up inside you to defy that devilish pressure. This supernatural joy will sustain you even in hardest times. You know, and he says on that day when they were facing this difficult ordeal with this man who was trying to destroy our ministry, there was something else I couldn't help but notice. Supernatural peace was ruling me and my emotions. Under such circumstances, most people would have been very upset, but I was completely controlled, level-headed, and at rest. And I want to stop there for a minute. When I was reading this, the word meekness rose up in me. Meekness, self-controlled power, or should I say power under control. You're taking hold of the situation. You know, you're controlling it. You know, you're level-headed and you're at rest. You know, I think, I can't remember the scriptures. You know, the Bible says that Moses was a meek man, you know. He was powerful, but yet he was controlled. You know, you're controlling a situation. Now, he says, my fellow associates kept asking me, how can you be so peaceful in the midst of this situation? It was simply a fact that supernatural peace has risen up from deep within my spirit, enabling me to be a rock in the middle of a terrible storm that was threatening to disrupt the outreach of our ministry. I knew this peace wasn't something I was producing by myself. It was a fruit that the Holy Spirit was producing in me. Paul listed this supernatural peace in Galatians 5:22 when he wrote about the fruit of the Spirit. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. This word peace comes from the Greek word Eirene, the Greek equivalent for the Hebrew's word shalom, which expresses the idea of wholeness, completeness, or tranquility in the soul that is unaffected by outward circumstances or pressures. This word strongly suggests the rule of order in place of chaos. When a person is dominated by peace, he has a calm inner stability that results in the ability to conduct himself peacefully, even in the midst of circumstances that would normally be very nerve-wracking, traumatic, and upsetting. And you know, once again, many of us are going through some times, and we're going to be coming into some times. And he goes on to say the Hebrew counterpart, the word shalom, indicates that this dominating peace ultimately gives rise to prosperity in one's soul. Remember, we were talking about that soul realm. Rather than allowing the difficulties and pressures of life to break him, a person who is best possessed by peace is whole, complete, orderly, stable, and poised for blessing. Amen. Amen. You know, and just think about, you know, well, let me just continue reading here. In the New Testament, is filled with examples of the supernatural peace that the Holy Spirit produces. One classic example is found in Acts 27, when the Apostle Paul found himself in a ship that was being dangerously tossed back and forth by the raging waves of the sea. In fact, the storm was so severe that Acts 27:14 and 15 says, for not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euryala. And when that ship was caught and they could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. So this ship was just being taken over. They couldn't do nothing no more. Notice verse 14 says, there arose against it a tempestuous wind, That word against is the Greek word battle, which is the verse means to throw, to dash, to hurt, or to rush. It indicates that a massive, terrible force of wind had come against them. He continues to say it was a tempestuous wind. And this word means like a typhoon. It means to subdue or to conquer. This ship was taken over by this storm. Put these two words together and it pictures a typhoon from which there is no escape. This is a storm so immense that it conquers and dominates everything in sight. Acts 27:14 tells us that this storm was called Uricondo. This term professional sailors used to describe the deadly northeastern winter storms that blew across the Mediterranean Sea, causing many shipwrecks and resulted in loss of lives every year. You know, and I'm going to stop there and reading this, but you know, Paul went through many storms, you know, and, you know, he's saying that this joy, you know, has to rise up within you. It has to take control of the situation. You know, you have to have this deep down in your soul, you know, and this peace, you know, and that's why I'm sharing this with you today, is that, you know, we need this peace. We need this joy, you know, because it's what needs to control us. It needs to, in these times that we're in today, amen. So, Father God, we just thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that your word, the fruits of your spirit would just rise up within us, Lord, and control us and lead us and guide us in all the ways of you know, our lives, Lord. And that, you know, we'll use those to walk on that narrow path, and it will lead us, that peace will lead us and guide us, you know, on the right path. You know, if we don't have that peace and that joy, you know, we're on the wrong path, Lord. So guide us and lead us by the fruits of your spirit, Lord. And we just thank you for your word today, Lord. And I ask that each person would be blessed here today. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. It's all yours, Mama. I hope everybody will have a great day, a peaceful day filled with joy of the Lord.
Yes, thank you so much, Pastor. That was really awesome. One of the things that I would like to highlight about what you said was when you said that it's the joy is like a reserve. It's in the deep wells, you know.
Yes, amen.
And we can pull on that joy when we need it.
Amen.
You know?
Yes.
And that's a blessing to us when we consider, you know, what we're all facing in the coming days, you know.
Amen, yes.
And you know, because like I said, the world is going to continue working. Everything's going to continue like normal. This is what we have to get in our head.
Mm-hmm.
What is going to be, because it's not going to come to like complete stop and, you know, make everybody choose the way that the movies portrayed it.
Right.
No, it is a deception to the max that people are going to continue living because they have swallowed the vomit and they're just continuing in this new global order of decentralization. So they're just going to adopt all the new technology. So they're going to go forward. But for us, it's a totally different picture for those that are not stepping forward in it, you know.
Right.
And this, we're going to need joy. Because they're going to think we're crazy.
Yeah.
You know, even though we look at them and say, how in the world can you not see what is happening right before your eyes, you know?
Right.
But that's the way it was always with God's people. All right, Pastor, I'm going to put you on mute over here. But that's the way it always was with God's people back in the old days. You know, whenever judgment happened, you had the remnant. And the others, I mean, even if you look at Noah and his people, you know, you had all the people in the world were laughing and mocking Noah because they could not see what Noah was warning about. It had never rained. I mean, in that day, the water came up out of the ground. It didn't come from above. So when he's telling them, we're going to have a flood, we've got to build this huge boat, everybody's got to get in the boat for safety, you know, it's kind of like what we're saying, because the beast is now telling everybody to jump in the boat for safety in his boat. All Luciferian, synthetic, fake, you know, this new decentralization. But to the church that's not stepping in, is outside in the flood, you know, being swept up because we're not going in the safety of the net of the world. But when you think about the joy, you know, that's what we're going to have to pull on, is that joy unspeakable and full of glory. That is a joy that we cannot explain to people. You know, we cannot explain why we can have joy when, you know, we're having to pull out of the metaverse. I mean, everything's going so fast right now. You know, pulling out of Microsoft, pulling out of Google. You know, I just found out last night we cannot use any email app. I found it out last night. The apps like Outlook and Mail and all this where we could, it's like an email aggregator. So you could put like 10 or 15 emails in it and organize it. You can't do it anymore. They've all went to Web3. Mozilla, what was that other one? Let me look. Hold on, I'll tell you. KDE Kmail is a new one. Mozilla Thunderbird, the iPhone mail app. Outlook, Windows Live Mail, they've done away with and replaced with Outlook. It's all Web3 now. So for people like me that have a lot of emails, I'm having to downgrade. I'm just having to do away with all my emails, you know, because I have emails for WATB still. You know, the press one that still gets all the information from the White House and the government. You know, I'm going to have to reduce everything to one flat email because it would be hard for me to keep up with that many without having something that kept it organized for me every day where I could just go in and kind of see the new stuff and all of them. Do you see what I mean? I know it, Carla. Let me tell you, there is a way that I can help you to get out of Google. I'm doing it for this other woman. And what she's doing is, now she's paying me for it to bless me. But I am, if she gives me her email and her password and allows me in, I will go in and clean it out. And then I told her what I would do is, put it on a flash drive, you know, like download her pictures out of the cloud and put them on a flash drive. I mean, it'd take a good day's work, you know. But anyway, but having to get out of the cloud and everything, I can do it, but I would have to have your password because I can't do it on the phone. It's too complicated. It's too complicated, you know. Okay. Well, let's talk about it later, and then I'll help you. But anyways, to those that are still in Google, when you think about getting out of your Gmail, you just need to go in there and clean out everything that's connected to a business that you need. Like, say, your light company, and you have your email connected to your light company. Those things I cannot help you with because I can't get in all the other companies. But what I can do is, you know, do your backups and all that kind of stuff. But you need to go to those companies, you know, get a new email, which I did find a good one, which is Zoho, Z-O-H-O. And you set up your new email, and then you contact the companies, and then you tell them, hey, you know, I have a new email, and you get it switched over before you delete the old. But the goal is to get all your stuff out of the cloud, get all of your connections, shut down your wallet, you know, all that kind of stuff. Get it out and then, you know, get you one email. So that's what I'm having to do is downsize, because I have the Treehouse Publisher. See, I still have that. And I had to shut down my store, the Treehouse Publishers store, because they have went Web3. They are doing all of the new Europe laws and all this kind of stuff. So I'm out of that. So I'm going to try to, on this Tidely site, you know, put my books up on there. But the point is we're being squeezed every way. You know, but to those that are paying attention, we've been maneuvering it for the past couple of years. You know, last year God told us to get out of Google. So we got out of the metaverse, you know, got everything going. And then this year it's final because the AI is taking over Google, you know. And then Microsoft, you know, they're closing down and going to Passkeys, which is the Web3 platform. And like I was saying about the email organizers, we can't use those either. So it's basically, and then we talked about Microsoft Windows 11 being all AI. So those of us that are still on 10, you know, are having to, beginning in October, we're going to have to start paying a yearly fee, but we only have one more year. So it's coming to the day where we're going to have to kick everything to the curb. You know, we talked about what's happening on Android. We, you know, were suggested and told everybody to get rid of iPhone years ago, but some people haven't for their own reasons. But now they've collected all that data on you. You know, they had that partnership with the CDC, so they're gathering your mental health data and your physical data and everything else, you know, much less scanning your body. And now the phones are talking to people, and it's telling them, look, ma'am, I had a woman. Let me see if she's on the line right now. No, she's not. She's probably on her way to her other church, but she said that hers told her, look, you have oncoming liver disease or something like that. I mean, just outright said it in front of everybody. Just, I guess the assistant on her phone or whatever just busted her out. I mean, they didn't do it in private, like send her an email, because, you know, they're sensing everything. But see, she is elderly. And she lives in a smart assisted living housing situation. So everything in the house is monitoring her. You know, the appliances are, you know, checking her stats and the LED lights and everything, you know. So she's living in a hotbed of radiation, basically, because they're examining her insides all the time. So my advice to her was, because it is what it is, she cannot move, she's elderly, she doesn't have kids to help her, that type of deal, is to just get rid of her cell phone, because that's the main thing, you know, that's keeping everything connected to her, type of deal. But anyways, the point is, we're all in this age, you know, where we're having to back out of the metaverse. It's been very challenging. And it's been hard on me, because I feel like, you know, I'm stressing people out because they don't know how to do it. And, you know, I can only help so much, you know what I mean? But I think you need to be aware of when, I mean, God has, you know, given us the grace to be able to see when things are moving over. So we know, you know, Because, see, me and Dennis, we got rid of our smartphones on our personal accounts. So we have we're back to the flip phone, which is very challenging, texting and stuff like that, you know. And plus, we can't make phone calls from down here on the farm because we don't have any cell phone towers out here. So we can only do it when we go to town, but we still need it because we've had this phone number for years. You know, type of deal. And at least it does work when we're out. And then we do have the business phone, the 731 number that you guys call. Okay, so as Carla reminded us, I want to talk to you a minute about tithing. It is a real thing, and it is a command of the Lord to bless those that bless you. And then I want to read what this website says about it. When we look into the Bible, it's clear that tithing has always held significance in our faith. Tithing helps us acknowledge that everything we have comes from God. And we do have to realize that because we have to know that all of our resources, you know, money is a resource. That all of our resources is God's, you know. And by returning a portion, we express our gratitude and faith, trusting in His provision. It also reinforces the notion that we are stewards of our blessings, not just owners. God does not require tithes to receive our worship. Rather, He invites us into this practice to help us cultivate generosity and prioritize our relationship with Him. As we delve into the scriptures, let's remind ourselves that these verses about tithing can inspire us to develop a heart towards giving. Malachi 3:10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord. And see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Malachi 3:10. I know my mother, she tithed till the day she died, and she always said, God always takes care of me because I take care of Him and His people. Leviticus 27:30, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. Proverbs 3:9-10, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflow, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Deuteronomy 14:22. Be sure to set aside a tenth of all that the fields produce each year. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So if y'all would like to give today, you can go to our website at goem.us/give. Well, you guys have a good day today, and I speak many blessings over you, and I hope I will be able to see you in the morning with Good Morning on the Farm. Have a good day. God bless.